Press record.
I did.
You pressed record.
Yes.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, honeys.
Guys, this is so exciting. It's happening. It's all happening.
Everyone, welcome to our little safe space.
Guys, I'm so happy.
I'm so happy too.
I'm really happy.
There's definitely an excitement that comes with turning a page and starting a new chapter.
And it's so timely for me right now, and I know it's timely for you too. So this is so exciting.
Here we are, girl.
Hey. It's been a long time coming too.
It has. I have always kind of wanted to do something with Casey, but she wasn't ready for a while. And then she said, you know what? Actually, I am. Scratch that.
I'm kind of one of those people that I push. And then one day I just kind of wake up and I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
You mean you push away?
Yes. I push back.
Oh yeah.
And it's not even I'm pushing back against other people. It's I'm like mentally pushing back against myself and just, you know, allowing something to potentially be real.
Yeah.
But then one day it just clicks, I guess. I don't know. Or at least for this, it just clicked.
I do think that there are certain inner walls you have to get past before you're willing to really push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are moments of clarity that feel like, if not now, when? Gotta jump. So all of that is to say, here we are trying something new, and we found the most perfect,
truly,
analogy for our current journey. And welcome everyone to Cringe Mountain.
This is truly, okay, so I was scrolling and I found this video. So the basis of this video is anyone that is cool or good at something has had to climb something called Cringe Mountain. And the only way that you can get to the land of cool is by climbing this mountain called Cringe Mountain. And anyone that is laughing at you, watching you climb Cringe Mountain, hasn't even started climbing yet.
So everybody who's making fun of you or judging you for being awkward or not great at something or fumbling and bumbling your way towards clarity or understanding or mastery at something in your life, those people have not even had the fucking guts to start climbing their own version of Cringe Mountain.
And when I saw this video, I don't think I can explain to you guys how spiritual it was for me, because I'm not that apt to trying new things that often. And admittedly, I'm going to out myself here. It's because I don't like to be seen trying. I like to do things that I know that I can do.
Yeah.
And I don't really like to try new things, but that actually isn't true. That actually isn't true at all. Trying new things and developing new skills and like expanding myself is the way that I feel the most lit up. But I think that ego part of myself, or I don't know what it is. It's definitely
the ego. It's protective mechanisms. I feel like it's just in a world of a lot of unsureness. It's us trying to feel as sure as possible all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah. I think that it's a nature thing for me. It's definitely a part of who I am, but I also think it's a nurture thing of how the world is today, right? And like how critical people are and how quick they are to judge. And it's like the video made so much sense to me. And the end part was honestly the most important part for me, in that anyone who's laughing at you climbing Cringe Mountain has not yet started climbing.
Well, no, one thing I wanted to say about your reflection of you thinking that you're somebody who would rather stay comfortable than be seen trying, but that's not, you know, really your essence. That's more of just like a version of you that is holding tightly to some sort of outward appearance of
togetherness.
Yes.
Having that my shit together.
But then you said, that's not my real essence. My real essence is I feel so alive when I'm trying something new and exploring and expanding. And I feel like the less you do that, the more out of touch you get with how good it feels.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So then the less you're likely to continue to do it. And I feel like you just dig this hole in life where you get to a point where unless you just force yourself to jump off of the cliff just keeps getting higher and higher and higher, and it keeps getting scarier. It's just something that you really have to practice doing and force yourself to do.
I couldn't agree more. And that's speaking very directly to my, I feel like, experience in life too, in that when I was in New York, I went to college in New York. I graduated 5 years ago, so it's been a second. But when I was there, I was constantly having to push myself out of my comfort zone. And it wasn't that I was trying new things all the time. I was just really pushing my threshold and having to evolve at such a high rate. And I feel like since I've gotten back here in a really important way, I've kind of taken the pedal off of that. And I've really lived in this comfortable place. And there's so much contextually that would make that make sense to people, i.e. a grief journey and, you know, just a really tough college experience for me. But I've definitely lost touch with how good it feels to be uncomfortable. And
yeah,
my comfort zone now is very uncomfortable for me. And I don't, if that makes any sense, you know?
I think that what you're getting at is there are phases of life where the amount of stress you have is so high that adding any more stress to that plate is nearly impossible. Like in certain phases where your mental health is holding on by a thread, it's ideal if you're able to decrease the amount of variables of stress around you as much as possible to try and get yourself back to some semblance of stability, like mentally and emotionally. But then there are times when life starts to feel stale and stagnant, and you're very aware that you want newness, you need change, but the change that you want might be really scary. And so then there's the phase of holding yourself back for a while you, that thing kind of haunts you. You're holding yourself.
Me.
You're holding yourself back because you're used to doing what you're doing and you've been holding yourself back. So it starts to become your norm. And then the longer you do that, the more deeply uncomfortable you are in your soul because you just know that there's something more or just different meant for you than what you're doing right now. And so it just haunts you and haunts you. And those are the phases where taking the leap is really important. Because, well, I was going to say, like, your mental health isn't necessarily like at risk. It might be, you know, there might be some sort of overlap there, but.
Can I jump in and say, I think when you say it might not be at risk, there is a risk of having poor mental health if you don't do something. So at a certain 100%. Point, you have to kind of decide, well, I'm going to be uncomfortable and stagnant, or I'm going to be uncomfortable and moving. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the point that I think I've gotten to in a certain way. And I still, I don't even know if I've gotten uncomfortable enough yet because I still am having a hard time getting moving, you know? But there comes a point in time where you have to realize pain is inevitable, either choice you make. So you either decide to be uncomfortable and get your ass up, or you decide to be uncomfortable and not do anything about it and stay in the same place. And ultimately that is the more uncomfortable choice at the end of the day.
No, you're so right. It's like, you're going to be extremely uncomfortable either way. Which discomfort would you prefer? Would you prefer to be uncomfortable and lacking fulfillment that you know you could potentially get by pursuing something that you think about consistently? Or would you prefer to be uncomfortable because learning is hard sometimes, but you know that you're moving forward and you know that you are progressing and learning, and
you may look dumb and you may feel dumb, but at least you're moving. You know what I mean? And at least you're learning and at least you're trying.
Our perspectives on looking dumb need to change so much. What is dumb about learning? That's the opposite of dumb.
I know. It's true. It's really true.
I had someone tell me the other day that the language we use about ourselves is really important to our reality. And I've heard that a million times. And sometimes it feels kind of nitpicky to me because I'm like, I'm doing my best. Like, you know, don't police every single thing I think, say, and do. But I do think that it's so real that what you say is a reflection of kind of your inner belief system. So if you pay attention to the things that you're saying about yourself and others and take any time to reflect on what does that actually say about my internal belief system? I feel like you've learned so much about yourself. And yeah, for us to say that it's dumb to be learning and growing and changing, it's literally the opposite of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what it is, right? Is, I mean, in terms of speaking to yourself kindly, I have a tendency to employ self-deprecating humor as often as possible. It's a comfort zone for me, and it makes me, that's a safe space for me.
100%.
But it's actually not productive to my relationship with myself and my inner dialogue with myself. And I think, you know, as someone who's had a maybe a tumultuous, you would say, relationship with myself at certain points in my life, I've definitely had to curb that a bit. And
I was actually just thinking about this today because it kind of reminds me of the conversation of vulnerability. I feel like being self-deprecating is extremely vulnerable because you're essentially like revealing about yourself, either certain insecurities or things that you want to get ahead of.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Other people bringing up.
That's exactly it.
And so it's really vulnerable. And so I do feel like the same with any other form of vulnerability, it kind of matters who you are like that around because you are giving an in to whoever you're with to join in with you on that conversation. And if you are actually talking about something that could potentially hurt your feelings, but you're trying to cover it up with a joke, and then someone that you don't trust joins you in that conversation, you're kind of fucked. I was just thinking about this today because I heard someone be self-deprecating and I just watched this whole thing play out. And it was such a sad moment for me where I kind of tried to patch it up for them and step in and then throw myself under the bus to save them.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking like, damn, this is another thing that you're so right. It really can be detrimental, even if nobody around you contributes. But the reason why we keep doing it is because there is such a funny aspect to it.
No, like self-deprecating humor is something I'll never give it up. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep it a buck here with all of you. Okay. And you're going to listen to me on a lot of episodes, be self-deprecating. And that's who I am in a lot of ways. But I think that you're speaking in my own self-reflection the last couple of years, as I've explored my inner world with myself and my relationship with myself, I have noticed that I utilize it sometimes in an effort, just like you said, to out myself for things so that someone doesn't feel the right to judge me because I've outed myself for it, kind of. So it's basically it's in the open. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it's been used as a tool in certain circumstances for me to get ahead of criticism from others or even just them having that thought. Well, I'm not going to let you have that thought because I'm going to say it out loud so that it's not just this brewing thing in your mind. Like I'm going to create a conversation around it kind of in a funny way. But there's also what we're talking about here today is kind of not being concerned with what people are thinking or saying or doing because it's not really any of your business. And I've had to learn over the years when it's good to utilize and when it's in an effort to protect myself when it's really not necessary and I should just let myself be in that moment, you know? So it's a tool for sure. And I love it and I'm going to keep using it forever. I'm never going to give it up. I just think that it's not appropriate all the time, you know?
Yeah. But if you are going to let somebody else's random thoughts that you don't even actually know if they're having or not, I mean, on social media, you know, because people are absolutely brutal. But if you're going to let someone's judgmental, critical thoughts have any say in how you actually choose to live your life, how depressing.
Mm-hmm.
I
can speak from personal experience. It's pretty depressing. Don't do it.
No, and I didn't mean if you are going to, as though I never have. The reason why we're talking about all of this is because we've realized how much we have allowed our perceptions of ourselves and then our perceptions of what we believe other people's perceptions of us are hold us back from doing something that we feel called to do. I mean, not even just this, not even just sitting here talking to people, but at any point in life, ever holding yourself back for fear of performing awkwardly or feeling imperfect and knowing that other people are witnessing your imperfection. That's just stale energy.
I have a quote for this, y'all. There's a quote for everything. Charles Horton Cooley said, "I am not who you think I am. I am not who I think I am. I am who I think you think I am."
He's basically saying we don't act just for ourselves and the other person will never know exactly who you are because they can't be in your brain or with you.
Mm-hmm.
But who you are so much of the time is who you
believe you're being perceived as by other people.
Yes.
That shit hits.
Yeah.
It's really good. That's a really good quote.
It is. I think it'll help me moving forward in my life, realizing how many times I've already climbed Cringe Mountain in my life.
It's true.
Because every time you start doing something new again, it feels like the first time you've ever done something new for some reason. Like the awkwardness just exists, I feel like, until you get into a flow of choosing discomfort regularly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if I think back on all the times that I climbed Cringe Mountain and I feel it's been a success, you know, this kind of lifts me up.
Hit me.
Ways that I've climbed Cringe Mountain, you want to know?
Yeah.
You want in on these stories?
I do, honestly.
Okay. One word. Men.
Oh, Lord. The cringiest of Cringe Mountains for anybody in their 20s.
Your 20s, if they are not tumultuously uncomfortable, you are so blessed. You are the most blessed person. Now, dating in your 20s, Cringe Mountain to the extreme.
God, is that not the truth?
I mean, my version of Cringe Mountain, I can just explain my version of dating being Cringe Mountain. Obviously, not everybody is going to relate to this story, but this is my story of Cringe Mountain,
mm-hmm.
dating edition. Relationships used to look like a lot of pride, not being able to ever speak up for my needs because I felt weak asking for something. Or, I mean, that stems out of something totally different too, which is fear of somebody leaving me if I wasn't just calm, cool, and collected all the time. Big abandonment wound energy. And I would say just poor communication all around. I had so much other stuff going on in my life too that I had such a weird relationship with dating mentally and emotionally because I wanted it to be something that would save me from other things that hurt really bad. And I wanted it to be something good that would bring me joy and kind of take me out of a place of real uncertainty and fear and discomfort because of other things that were going on in my life. But you cannot rely on some external thing giving you all the validation you need because of a lack of groundedness or self-worth or stability, you know, in your life. And so putting that high of expectations on something is just a cause for a future explosion. And it happened over and over again, you know, like settling for not healthy relationship dynamics. One, because I hadn't really seen that many healthy relationship dynamics. So I didn't even know what I was totally looking for. Two, because I just wanted that connection so badly that it was like the prospect of having it was more important to me than what the it would actually be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then I got to a point where I finally had an epiphany where I was like, I climbed up that Cringe Mountain for a long time. And I got to a point where I was like, fuck this. I mean, I really just went to therapy. Fuck this equals.
She found a therapist at the top of Cringe Mountain and
who was waiting for me. There. And I explored my patterns and I was just like, this is something that I do not want to continue doing. I do not want to continue feeling absolutely depleted with these cycles of up and down and whatever with people. And I learned of something called standards. And
what's that?
It was really revelatory. Let me tell you.
Tell us, guys. Carly, tell us what standards are for any ladies in the crowd that have never heard of it. Come on.
No, I really realized that we make decisions every single day about who's around us, who is contributing energy into our lives, who we're interacting with, what type of treatment we're accepting from others. I just really opened my eyes to who I was surrounded by, and not just in romantic relationships, but with friendships too. And that's a totally different conversation. But I had this moment where I was just like, no more. Drawing the line, drawing the boundary, boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. And I really stiff-armed every man who came near me for a long while. And like you've said to me many times, I really rode the pendulum from one far end to the other far end where I was like, I just want this thing and I'll make it work and I'll be the one to compromise. And I went from that extreme hard on my sleeve with few to no boundaries and standards in hell to someone who was like, nah, you've got to work to get to me in a really impossible way. But I kind of had to go through that swing
mm-hmm.
to get to a point where I am now, which is just a little bit more calm and with so much gathered experience of being able to understand who people are showing me that they are and taking my time to let them show me and like let that unravel rather than trying to rush into something out of any sort of lack inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like I'm approaching the land of cool. Let's with dating. Go. My reactivity, way down, babe.
I love that for you so much.
And it was a long climb, let me tell you.
Mm.
My climb on Cringe Mountain, dating edition.
You guys, I can barely get myself to get on Cringe Mountain Dating Edition. It's so cringy. It's beyond cringy for me.
It's a battlefield out here, dude.
When I sit in a bar, can I tell you guys something? And I'm waiting for dude to show up for this little dranky drink we're going to get. Do you understand? That is the definition of just
when you're on a date,
being seen trying for me. When I'm sitting and I'm waiting for this person to show up and I'm at the table and I've never met this person before. I've met them one time and I'm just twiddling my thumbs. I don't know what it is, but that is the most vulnerable. I feel like it's just so heavy that you're being seen trying. But I think that that's a personal problem for me or something. Not a personal problem, but just.
It's not a personal problem. I think it's really nerve-wracking to go on a date with a new person.
God, it's so cringy. But that's one of the more vulnerable things to be seen doing for me, honestly, is seen trying in that way. But it's also very important for me. And I got to do it. I got to do it. We all have to do it.
Got
to
do it, girl. Okay, so applications are open. Case talks next year.
My DMs kidding. Are open. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not that kidding, though. My DMs are open.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Why the fuck not? Hey.
I love that.
I think that this demographic is going to be 99% women.
But yeah.
I don't think that many men are going to be flocking, but
you never know.
If you have a brother or something, that's great.
I love
it. Why not? I'm only getting older, babe.
I love this.
I only got so much time. Just kidding. I'm not in a rush at all, but. Yeah, but I do think it's a really good point to say, you know, obviously we're making a joke of this first step, this first episode being kind of our first little jaunt up Cringe Mountain, trying something new and trying our hand at it. It's something that we've been interested in. But I think it is really nice to point out to reflect on all the times that you have done it. Because like we were just talking about earlier, when you get out of the rhythm of trying new things and of pushing yourself, you forget that you've done it before and that you're capable of doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in reflecting back, I've done it many times and I've lived and I've thrived, you know? And yeah. So not letting yourself get tripped up about the ifs and, you know, all the possibilities and what this person's going to think. I just, we have to get over that, you guys. And I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
We have to, it's the most cheesy thing to say ever, but we really only do have one shot at this thing. And if we're living our lives, I'm not even trying to preach right now. I'm preaching to myself. It's so critical to be living on your terms and doing things that you need to do for yourself because time is limited. It really is. And I want to be better about taking advantage of the time that I've been gifted, you know, and it really is a gift. Like every day I wake up, I'm like, damn, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
Recently it's like making it home at night is a flex. I swear it's such a blessing to make it home at night.
And the concept of not ever trying what you feel called to try out of fear for any reason. Yeah. Wow. I mean, when I look at the people in my life who have really pushed themselves and put themselves out there and they have not just success to show for it, because it doesn't have to be that way, but they have life experience and they have stories and they have wisdom and they're honestly usually more tolerant of other people. They're usually more open-minded because the more experiences you have, the more you can relate to more people. And the more people you can relate to in life, I feel the less harsh and critical and judgmental you are because you're able to see the humanity within more and more people. And I do feel like that is something that just drives me in general is how can I live my life in a way that opens me up to seeing as many people as I can possibly see for who they are and for, you know, why they are the way they are. And yeah, I really just want to live my life personally with the knowing that even if external success doesn't show up, the internal gratification and like pride I will gain from overcoming, you know, my inner critic and overcoming my self-doubt that makes me want to stop before I even start. I want to build confidence based on those things. Mm-hmm. I want to build that level of really grounded confidence. And maybe not everybody cares to do that. Maybe not everybody feels really called to something in this moment. I strongly believe that, you know, if you're on this planet, that there's a serious purpose for you. And it would be my dream if everybody had the opportunity, the resources, the wherewithal, the motivation to really hone in on what that is within them. And also, I would say patience is so important because you can feel called in some vague direction for a long time and not really understand exactly what the calling is. And I think a lot of people do get so caught up on like, what is my purpose? I don't know. You know, I'm kind of panicked and afraid. Like, I don't know what I'm meant to be doing. I don't know why I feel like I should be going in this direction. But I would just say any step you see available to take, take it, because 10 steps in front of that, the aha moment will happen. It will occur. I think big purpose reveals itself after long roads, you know, and you have to walk the road to get to the revelation. And I don't know if I'm speaking too vague on this, but I just personally have felt like I am someone who has a lot of inner passion throughout my whole life. And I haven't always known exactly how to channel it. And that's really panicked me at times. But when I look back on the steps that I've taken so far, I did have small inclinations of I should do this thing. And in that moment, I didn't think this is the thing that's going to change my life. I just felt that I needed to do some small thing for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I actually did take action on that, it opened a brand new door I would not have known existed. And then I had another small inclination once I walked through that door, and it kind of has continued to build till I have gotten to a point where I feel grateful to have a little bit more clarity of what I want my life to be like. Mm-hmm. And, but it, I'm 30, about to be. And about to be entering a new decade. And I did spend, honestly, without trying to sound dramatic, my whole life kind of wondering where I was going. And it's such boring feedback, but just keep at it, you know, just keep chipping away at the marble and, you know, the body within will reveal itself at some point. You're a sculptor.
Hell yeah. I definitely have seen that for you. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can't get anywhere and you can't do anything without trying. That's the most straight up, straightforward fact, you know, but if you're living your life in a way that you're so concerned with being perceived as novice or trying or, you know, fumbling or anything like that, I've held myself back from so much in life out of care for what it looked like, you know? Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you're like, okay, but what does this feel like? Cause I'm living this experience inside my body right now, you know? And, mm-hmm. and what does it feel like to live a life where you're concerned about how you're being perceived in moments, you know? At the end of the day, when you start to get more in touch with yourself, you're like, this shit doesn't feel good at all. I want to feel fulfilled with what I'm doing. I don't want to, it's the same thing with looks, you know what I mean? And I'm talking about like your beauty or whatever. There's really a saturation point of what joy that can bring you. And the like how you look is one thing, but I don't know. I've really been realizing the last year, couple years, guys, how you feel determines kind of everything. Your energy.
How you feel also does determine how you look.
100%. 100%. It's so true. And I just am finding the power in tapping into how I feel and, you know, what my center is telling me and what my gut is telling me rather than what I'm reading from the crowd or what I imagine that the crowd would say. Or I just think if you live your life in a place where you're trying to read what people think about you at all times, you're going to find yourself pretty bummed. And I don't want that for myself. So I'm going to try and you guys are going to watch me try and we're going to try together. And I am at peace with that. I am at peace with being seen trying at this point. So come with me.
Well, yeah. And something that you said a couple minutes ago about shifting the focus from what does this look like? What is this going to be perceived as? What are people going to think that I'm trying to say about myself and my, you know, like all of those mental pretzels that you get into. And then when you shift the focus onto, but how do I feel inside? That is really important data too. You know, I do feel like it's such a human thing to have to build up to a level of discomfort that's just completely intolerable at a certain
Absolutely.
Point. And you feel like you have no fucking choice but to change something. And ideally, over the course of your life, you won't force yourself into those corners as frequently. And it will become, again, ideally quicker and simpler to make choices that feel aligned or to get yourself out of situations that you know are not aligned. But yeah, we got to gather that data though too. So no regrets.
No.
You know, if you've held yourself back, no regrets, because I do think that part of the motivation to move forward and do something that's hard and scary is understanding how completely intolerable holding yourself back is. And just knowing that the alternative, as scary as it is much more pleasant actually at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Talk about that with my therapist all the time. People only make change when it's too uncomfortable to stay where they are. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that for the discomfort, because at the end of the day, for all of us, it is a catalyst to move us where we want to go if we are sitting with it, you know?
Yeah.
But the key is to not pacify through it. You got to really feel that discomfort, because it can propel you into things that you've wanted to do for a long time that you can no longer avoid. But if you are avoiding it in the moment, it's very easy to do. And I have my own ways of pacifying myself, but it's important to sit with that discomfort, because it will lead you to the green pastures that you want and that I want. I want green pastures. I want so many things. And I feel like one small little step forward, you know? One small little baby step forward for all of us. And the reality is that if anyone's laughing, it's because they haven't done it yet. So I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we love you. We're so excited to hang out with you. If you want to come join us every Thursday,
make this a cute little safe space for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I love everybody in the entire world.
Oh.
And I'm trying really hard to stick to my guns and mean it when I say that.
I love it.
That's a mantra for life. I love everybody in the entire world. And I want for everybody to, you know, maybe take a little time to introspect and figure out what's calling you. I want us all, I would literally love nothing more than to live in a world where everybody is walking towards what calls them. That's the most inspiring concept to me ever. If everyone was doing that all the time, I don't know. That's a world I want to live in.
That's a world I want to live in for my, I want to do that myself.
I want to do it myself, but imagine how inspiring it would be to look around and everyone around you is doing that.
That's so true. Wow. That's a great thought.
So let's all do it together.
I love that. Okay. Well, this will be our little community where we'll be doing that together. We'll be accountability partners.
Yes. Our new favorite term.
Yep.
Everybody who wants to join with us is an accountability partner. We'll hold each other accountable.
One little baby step at a time, moving towards what we want to do.
Well, again, I love you.
Love you guys. Yay.
Yay. Bye.
Bye.